Okay, good morning. Give her coming back. I'm sure that everybody heard about what happened this morning.
Yeah.
The terrible terrorist attack. So the learning should be for Le'ilo Nishmas, those that were killed, Rachman Alitzan, and should be for Refuah Shleima for those who were injured.
Amen.
So we're going to talk about, we're still talking about here preparing for Shabbos. There, every time I think that we're ready to move on, there always seems to be a lot more to talk about. So what we're doing here is preparing for Shabbos part one. Last week, I believe I said I thought that we would do a run through of, I don't know, 7 or 8 different things that we do to prepare for Shabbos that are smaller. But what we have here, we're going to be focusing again only on one specific thing. Last week, we spoke about eating on Erev Shabbos. The parameters up to which point you're allowed to eat, how much you're allowed to eat. So this week we're going to be talking about two different things that are both related to food, other food things that are about on Erev Shabbos, and they both come from a Gemara in Beit Zadav Tet Vav Amud Bet. The Gemara has two parts to it that are both about connected to Shabbos, connected to food. We're going to spend our time this morning talking about both parts of the Gemara. We're going to talk about the halacha regarding each of those parts. So we'll begin reading through the Gemara. The Gemara in Beit Zadav Tet Vav Amud Bet is really only like four or five words in Tet Vav Amud Bet. Really, the Gemara is on Tet Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Tani Rav Tachlifa Achua de Rav Nai Choza. So Rav Tachlifa, the brother of Rav Nai Choza, taught the following. Kol mizonotav shel ha'adam kitzuvim lo mirosh hashanah. An idea that probably many of us have heard before, that all of a person's... The Gemara here uses the term mizonotav, all of your food, which we're going to see from Rashi really means your expense, how much money you're going to take in, how much money a person is going to earn in the year is set on Rosh Hashanah. Ketuvim lo Rosh Hashanah ve'ad Yom HaKippur. It's between the period from Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is the period where a person's money is set, how much money the person is going to earn for that coming year, with a few major, major exceptions. Chutz mehotza et Shabbatot. Except for the expenses, what a person pays on Shabbos is not included in what the person was set to have made at the beginning of the year. V'hotzat Yom Tov, and money spent on Yom Tov also. And v'hotzat Banav L'Talmud Torah. And paying for your children to learn Torah is also not included in the money that a person that was set for that person to have earned from Rosh Hashanah. And then the Gemara now explains what this means, although this is not exactly clear what this line means. She'im pichei pochtin lo. If you spend less money on these things, if you spend less money on your Shabbos preparations, on your Yom Tov preparations, on your paying for your children, or could be for anybody to go to learn Torah, pochtinlo, you receive less. Vimhosif, and if you spend more on these things, mosifinlo, it sounds like you will get more money. You will get back the money that you spent on these things. These things are not included. So if a person, at the beginning of the year, just to make up numbers here, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu says that a person is going to make $50,000 that year, and then they end up spending a lot of money on their Shabbos because they want to have big fancy Shabbos sudot, it would seem, and they have, let's say they have spent $10,000 on that, it will seem that if they look back at the end of the year, they'll really have made $60,000 that year. The $50,000 plus the $10,000 that they spent on Shabbos. And if a person has a paltry Shabbos, has very little, and they spend $1,000 for that year, it seems from the Gemara, we're going to see it, I hope we'll see a different shot at the very end, it seems from this Gemara that if you spend only $1,000, then at the end of the year you'll have had $51,000. That's what it seems like from this Gemara. And this is something that we're going to talk about. This is going to be the first part of what we're going to talk about this morning is the expenses for Shabbos and under which circumstances does this line from the Gemara apply, that if you spend more, do you get back more, and if you spend less, you get back less. We're going to see this quoted. And the Gemara proves this. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abahu Maikra. What's the pasuk that tells you that the expenses that you spend on these things... I think the pasuk. We'll see. What's the source for this? Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chagenu. So the pasuk says, right, blow the shofar at the beginning of Yom Chagenu, at the beginning of presumably Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah. Ezu chag shachodesh mitkasevo. Which holiday is the moon covered in? I'm not such an expert in astronomy, so I'm not It's not my expertise here. But the Gemara says, Havim is a Rosh Hashanah. This is a reference to Rosh Hashanah. So we know that this Pasuk is talking about Rosh Hashanah, right? This is going to be, what are we trying to prove? We're trying to prove that the certain expenses are not included in what you're decreed on Rosh Hashanah. So there's our Rosh Hashanah connection, Tikva B'Chodesh Shofar. And our second connection is, the second half of this Pasuk is, Ki Chok L'Yisrael Hu Mishpat L'Elokei Yaakov. Because it's a Chok for Yisrael, and a mishpat for Elokei Yaakov. So the Gemara says here, chok doesn't only mean law, it could mean something else. And what does it mean? My mashma, tehai chok lishna dimzonehu. The Gemara says, how do you know that chok here is the lashon of mazon, of food, of mizonot. Right? That's our second connection from before. We had, before we said, kol mizonotav, or said on Rosh Hashanah. So this chok is a reference to mazon. Dechtiv v'achlu et chukam asher natan lahem paro, that they ate the chukam, which there means bread. So you see from here that there's a connection between Rosh Hashanah and the mizonot of a person. The Gemara here was not proving that exception. The Gemara here was proving, how do you know that all your expenses are gonna, all your money is gonna be earned on Rosh Hashanah from this pasuk? Because the pasuk says Tikva B'Chodesh Shofar for Rosh Hashanah, and then Chok LiYisrael, your bread is set. And then we have another pasuk, Ma'azuch Amar Mayacha Hatrifeni Lechem Chuki from Mishlei, that provide me your food, your lechem. So you see from here again that the Chok here means reference to lechem. That's really part one of what we're going to end up talking about. But we'll just finish this Gemara here to see part two. Another Gemara that probably most people have either heard of or heard applications of. Tanya Amru Al Shammai Hazaken. So the Gemara says they taught about Shammai Hazaken. Kol Yomav Haya Ochel Lichvot Shabbos. All of his life he would eat for Shabbos. So now what does this mean? Matzah behema na'e omer zola Shabbos. If he found a very nice animal, looked like it would be very good, he would say, "This animal I'm going to save. I'm going to eat it on Shabbos." So then, what would happen? Matzah acheret na'e hemena. If he found a nicer one, he would say, "Maniach et hashnia va'ochel et harishona." If he found a nicer one, then he would say, "This animal is going to be for Shabbos, and the previous animal that I thought I'm going to eat it right now." So on Monday, if he found an animal and looked like it would taste very good, he would say, "This animal's for Shabbos." Then on Tuesday, if he found a better one, he would eat the one that he had set aside on Monday, and he'd keep Tuesday's ones for Shabbos, and you know, you can keep going with this. So that's what the Gemara says, is that he always used to eat for Shabbos, because everything that he was eating, he always had Shabbos in mind to save the best portion for Shabbos. And aval Hillel hazakein midachar haitavavot Hillel, had a very different characteristic trait regarding this. He would not do like Beit Shammai, like every single time he found something nice, say, "I was saving for Shabbos." Shakol masav l'shem shamayim. Everything that Hillel did was for l'shem shamayim. So the Gemara, I guess we'll see Rashi here. But what does this mean? This means that with Hillel, he apparently had this emunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would provide for him something beautiful for Shabbos at the end of the week. So if he found something nice on Sunday, he wouldn't say, "Oh, this is very nice, I'm going to save this for Shabbos." He would just eat it. And same thing on Monday, same thing on Tuesday. And then, I don't know, you know, Thursday night or Friday morning, he would. That's when he would find something nice for him to have for Shabbos. So Ne'amar Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, right? Yom Yom, Baruch Hashem, every single day means, I know, he had this faith that on every single day that God would give him what he needed, so that on Thursday or Friday, God would give him what he needed for Shabbos. Tanya Nami Hachi, and we have a similar breita that teaches something similar. Beit Shammai Omrim Mechad Shabich L'Shabbatech. Beit Shammai says, from the first day of your week, already start thinking and preparing for Shabbos. Uveis Hillel Omrim, no, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, take it day by day. There's no reason for you on Sunday to think about the following Shabbos. So when I was learning this Gemara, I was reminded of, I was speaking to a very prominent rabbi from the northern New Jersey area, who one time told me that he already starts to think for his drasha for the following week, right after Shabbos, on Motzei Shabbos. So this is what I was thinking here, Shammai, right, already from the first day of the week, already you want to start to think about the next week, so.
And the other one, the rabbi, Hashem would provide him with a sermon before Shabbos.
Ah, okay, right, the walking around his office an hour before Shabbos, waiting for his epiphany. Very good. So, we have some Rashi's here to do that are very, very important for our understanding of this Gemara and some of the applications here. We're not going to do, I put all the Rashis on the sugya. We're not going to do all of them, but we'll do some of them. So the first Rashi, Kol Mizono Tav Shel Adam, this is that everything is set from Rosh Hashanah. Kol Masha Atid Lehistaker B'Shanah, everything that you're going to earn in that upcoming year. So Rashi here makes the jump. It's not just the amount you're spending on food for the year, but it's everything that you're going to earn for the year. Sheyehi Nizo Misham, right? Because money is what pays for food. Katzuv lo is set. Kach v'kach yistaker b'shana zot. X and Y is what you're going to make in this year. V'yeshal elisar. So now Rashi tells us something very interesting. I don't think we're going to go to develop this too much, but he says, yeshal elisar milaso yitzia meruwa. A person should be very careful not to just go spend a lot of money on something because because maybe, how do you know you're going to have enough money if you buy and make a big purchase now? How do you know you're going to have enough money in 6 months from now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set for you? So things might be a little different with, you know, bank accounts and savings and retirement plans, etc., but
Hashem knew you were going to make the 6 months in purchase.
Okay, yeah. But Rashi says you have to be careful with what you spent, and this isn't only the Bi'ur Halacha quotes this even. He quotes this. He says that a person should really be careful with what they spend because who knows how much money God decreed for you for that year, and you don't want to spend too much money on a big purchase, especially if it's not so necessary, and then run out of money.
I mean, what do they do when they have people go and they invite guests, whatever? So the thing is, sometimes they have 8 guests one night, one Shabbos and night.
Right, so it sounds from here you get paid back. Yeah, it sounds from here you get paid back. We'll see some of the criteria for that, but yeah, it sounds from here you pay back.
So Hashem does pay him back.
Yes. So the next Rashi says, "Chus me'osad shabbat otalo paskul ma yisarkler sakar." This was not set at the beginning of the year from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mehechan tivuehu ella lefi masharagim mamsimlo. According to what you regularly spend, that's the money you're going to get back. L'sha ol achasha. Maybe you'll get it back immediately, and maybe you'll get it back 6 months later. But according to what you regularly spend, that's the money you're going to get back. We'll come to this later. But somebody points out from here that Rashi here says l'fi masher ragil. Right? It's not if a person usually spends X amount and he decides after learning this gemara, you know what? I'm just going to go now. I can have the most lavish meal ever and have a steak for every person, and I'm having, you know, 10 people over, and God's going to pay me back for this. That might not be what's going on here. Right? This is not a way where you can just indulge yourself and have an insurance policy that God is going to pay for it. But it's according to what you regularly do is what you would get paid back. Okay, so we're going to... I don't know if we need to do any other Rashis. I think we mostly explain them. I think we explain the other Rashis when we were going through the Gemara, so we don't have to do any more Rashis. But what we have from this Gemara is two parts. Part one is the amount a person spends on Shabbos, and part two is whether we should save something as the week goes on, and every time we come across something nice, say, I want to save this for Shabbos, or whether we should, like Beis Hillel, not even worry about it and have full emunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately going to provide us for us what we need, a very nice thing that we need for Shabbos at the end of the week. So we have a Gemara here, just another Gemara before we come to some of the halacha and some of the applications of these Gemaras. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Yotet Amud Aleph says, "Bai minei Rabbi mi Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi." So Rabbi asks Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi, I'm sorry, I forgot to put source numbers on here, so the third source. Seems to be a bit of an agadic Gemara, but a fascinating one. So I don't know. I shouldn't have said, but most agadatos are fascinating. I don't know. Agadata is not so clear whether it's halacha or not, or whether you can paskin from it or not. So here we have this. The Gemara says, "Ashirim shav Eretz Yisrael b'mahein zochen." The wealthy people in Israel. But what merit did they have that they were wealthy? The Gemara says, "Amar lo bishviel shema asrin," that they take tithes. Shenemar aser to aser. This is also a more well known drasha. Aser to aser. It's double language, right? It literally means you should surely tithe. Right? That's usual double language is an emphasis. But the Gemara makes a different drasha. Aser bishviel shetit asher. Give tithes, that's the first aser. Aser to aser, give tithes so that you become wealthy, or that you will become wealthy from giving the tithes. It sounds from here that it's a literal, there's a lot, there's a, It's very interesting. This is just a bit of a tangent, but it's very interesting what the point of purpose of wealth is in Judaism. This is a Gemara that has some bearing on that. Is that a goal? What? Why would the reward for giving tithes be to become an usher, to become a wealthy person? Rav Schwab in his Sefer on the Parsha has a very, very different understanding of Aser Bishvil Shetit Asher. He understands it to mean not that you're going to become rich, but by giving something away, what the Pirkei Avos says, Ezehu Asher HaSamech Bechoko. When a person is able to give something away and he's able to delineate what he's happy with, then he becomes an usher, and this isn't about physical wealth. It's about feeling that you're feeling wealth, feeling that you're happy with what you have. The Gemara seems to imply that this is physical wealth, because the real wealth, because the Gemara says ashirim, what merit do they have? So that's in Eretz Yisrael, but in Bavel, where they may or may not have been giving Maiser, that's Machloket Rishonim, but the Gemara assumes that they don't give tithes. So, Shebe Bavel, what about in Bavel? What do they do to merit being wealthy? Amr lo bisfil shemechabdin at HaTorah, that in Bavel was the Torah center of the world, people had this great Kavod HaTorah, so that was what they had this, the Ashirim had their Zechut to be Ashir because of their Kavod HaTorah. V'sheh b'shar artzos b'mahin zochen. Okay, now what about everywhere else? Amrulo b'shvil shemechabdin es haShabbos. Everywhere else is because they give tremendous. The people in the other places give tremendous kavod for Shabbos, and through that merit is what they become wealthy. Now the Omar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba tells us a fascinating story. Pam achat nitarach the etz abal habayit b'Ludkia. I do not know where that is, but he says one time I was a guest in somebody's house in a place called Ludkia. V'heviyu lefanav shulchan shel zahav, and they brought a golden table, masui shisha asar b'nei adam, right? 16 people had to carry this table because it was so heavy. V'sheish esrei shal shalot shel kesef kulabo, and it had 16 chains of silver hanging from it. V'kearot v'koso v'kitonio v'tzlochio kulabo, and there was plates and cups and flasks and all the regular things that you need for a meal on it. And there was all these kinds of foods and spices and delicacies, right? This is sounds like a real, real feast. So who's the this Rabbi Chiya? Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba is telling the story. And so what happens? They would bring out this table. 16 people would bring this table. They would put it down, and they would say, "LaHashem ha'aretz umloa." To God is the world and all that's in it, right? They would give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when they took the table away, they would say, "Hashamayim, Shamayim, Lashem, v'ha'aretz natan livnei Adam." They would again give, say, a pasuk praising God. Amarti lo bini, b'me zechita l'chav. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, he sees this whole thing. He says, "What merit? How did you become so wealthy that you were able to have all these, this unbelievable, all the gold table and all the stuff on it?" So he says, the guy says, "Katzav hayiti, I'm a butcher." And whenever I would come across a very nice animal, I would say, "Zo tehela Shabbos." This animal is for Shabbos. It sounds from here that this Gemara supports Beit Shammai, who was planning in advance for Shabbos. Amarti lo, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba says to him, "Ashrecha shezachit, praiseworthy are you for having the zechut to have this wealth. Ubaruch hamokom shezikech b'chach, and blessed is God who gave this to you." He gives a bracha to the person, a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. So we have here just a different gemara before we come to some of the halacha regarding this. We have a gemara that seems to support Beit Shammai that a person should plan earlier in the week. So now we're going to jump. We're going to jump to the next source, which is the Shoot Semach Tzedek. Yes. This is not the Lubavitch Semach Tzedek. This is an earlier one. He lived in the 1600s in Krakow. And the question was as follows. They asked him this question. Pam achat hayu ha'areli mochri dagim miyakrim hashar. So there was a point in time where the non-Jewish people that would sell fish, miyakrim hashar means that they would raise the price. They would raise the price a lot, which would be... I guess a normal, whatever. Okay. No, we're not going to talk about supply and demand. But Lefisha Rocha, Yudim Konim Lechvot Shabbos. They saw that all the Jews, every week, were buying fish. So they said, "Oh, here's how we can make a lot of money. We can just raise the price a ton, and the Jews are going to come to buy it anyway, and we'll make a lot of money." Right? Apparently, the Jews, this was part of their plan. They're not, they said, we're going to raise the price, and they're not going to manich, and they're not going to leave the fish and say, we don't want fish for Shabbos. They're going to continue to come to buy the fish. So what happened? Vasu hakal haskama, and the whole congregation got together and agreed, shum adam loikne dagim shnei chadashim, they boycotted. They boycotted for 2 months. Nobody's going to buy fish for 2 months. That should bring their prices down. And the question is, so we're going to see what the question is. That's just the story that happened. The story was they were on it to raise the prices, and the Jews got together, and they boycotted for 2 months so that the prices would come down. So what's the question? Vishalu ha-talmidim, OT. So they asked the Tzemach Tzedek, Im Rishon La-Sokein, are they allowed to do this? Kevan de-Chavot Shabbos, who, right? Well, first of all, it's Chavot Shabbos. Who's to say they shouldn't spend it? But now, what did the Gemara that we just say? Va'od, to eat the Beperek Bet the Beit, Adav Ted Zayin, Kol parnasato shel adam ksuvin lo mirosh hashana chus meosa Shabbos v'yom tov. V'imosiv yosivilo. The Gemara says that you spend more money, you'll get back more money. So okay, so what? So the merchants decided to, instead of charging $10, they charged $100. But the Gemara says that you get back that $100 at the end of the year, or at some point in the year anyway. So what's the difference? What's the difference? You're going to get back your money. Okay. Yeah, you're not.
Well, yeah, I understand logically what you're saying, but I would have thought, well, you know, one's extortion, whereas the other one's going out, you know, to spend.
Okay. The fish was $10. That's going to be one of the answers. Okay, very good. One of the answers is going to be, I think, somewhat similar to that. One of the answers is going to be not his answer, but there's going to be another answer. So that was the question. Im kein im pseida bazeh im koni biyoke lechavot Shabbos Hakadosh Baruch Hu preilo. Sorry, im pseida. There's no loss because Hakadosh Baruch Hu is just going to pay you back for what you spent. That's the question to the Tzemach Tzedek. So his answer is tshuva. Yireh d'sham pirdami. So he says, no, I think that it was a good idea. So he quotes a gemara from Kritut that basically says that who's this? Rabban Gamliel. That Rabban Gamliel, I don't think we're going to do this inside, but basically the Rabban Gamliel, in order to bring the price down, something was 25 times as expensive as it should be, a korban, an animal to bring a korban, and for people that had to bring multiple korbanot, that would have been even more money, because if one of them was 25 times, and then they had to buy four of those animals, bring four korbanot, and this, the Gemara says five, it was a lot more money, so he made a gezerah that you only needed to bring one, you could bring one korban for your five events that needed a korban, and the price dropped tremendously. So the Tzemach Tzedek says, you see from here that there's times where you can make a gzeirah you can make a decree not to buy things so that the price goes down. That's what he says. So he doesn't really address, it doesn't seem like he addresses the contention of you're going to get paid back for it, but he does say that it's an appropriate thing to do, that you're allowed to not spend money for Kavod Shabbos. That's really what he was focusing on. You're allowed to not spend money for Kavod Shabbos because we have a case in the Gemara where the Gemara is saying you don't have to spend money for a korban, and a korban is a doraisa, and Kavod Shabbos, like we saw the Rambam, seems to be a derabanan. So that's his answer. That's his answer.
On the one hand, he's saying price should be no object because at the end you'll get it back anyway, but you have to be able to afford to buy it in the first place.
Okay, that's going to basically be...
Price in that way is an absolute.
Right, that's going to basically... I believe that's what Rav Chaim Kanievsky says in the next source. That's what he says. He says in the next source, Omna Mishi Yesho... So maybe Sham Teirs B'Shem Agon Rav Chaim Kanievsky... If you have money initially, like Gary said, then you can lay out money and you can buy stuff, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay you back. The poor people, if the poor people don't buy, they're not going to get anything. This takana over here in where was this? Did he say where? I don't know. Well, he lived in Krakow most of his life, so I presume it was somewhere around there. The takana that they shouldn't buy the fish was mainly for the poor people. Meaning that the wealthy people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would still pay them back, but you need to have a certain amount of money in the first place to buy it. And this takana was to help the poor people, that if there was no takana, the prices would be very high and they were never able to buy fish for Shabbos.
In England ever self. I mean, every time people pay the new price, they'd raise it again.
Okay, so I see from here that everybody is on the mark today. That's going to be another answer.
You've been in business before.
That's going to be another answer, absolutely, that concern. But right now, our concern here is for the poor people. That seemed to be what this takana. But yeah, in Hachanami, the Gemara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay back what you spend would apply to the wealthy people. So we'll do a few more answers, then we'll see what the Mishnah Berurah has to say on this, and then we'll focus on the second part of the Gemara that we started off with. So next answer is Od Hevi Yisham. So sorry, this is from the Daf Al Daf, which I found, and it's on the Bar Ilan software. They compile lots of inyanim on each daf. So that's what we're reading from now. Od Hevi B'Shem Hagon Rav Yechiel Michal Feinstein Zatzal. So next answer. Im Hosif Mosifin Lo Nemar Davka B'Mechirim Huganim. That's only by proper prices. So, kiyesh mahavtacha mishamayim lesapek et hamashevim hamaruvim hamnisrachim lemishamar belotzilich vochavos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that he's going to pay back when you pay normal price. So, Louis, this is what where we're getting to your answer. But this doesn't apply when the prices are very high, like you use the word extortion, right? Right? Then basically you're just helping out gazlanim here. Im kain ein kol inyan lesapik lahametzam aveihem haray ein bichach yoter kav. It's not about, this isn't kavod shabbos. This is siyu tmicha begazlanim. If a kadosh baruch, if a person would get paid back for all these expenses, what would happen be then? You'd be just be supporting thieves and extortionists and all those kinds of things. So that's why in this case, a kadosh baruch is not gonna, according to this answer, a kadosh baruch is not gonna pay you back for abnormally high prices that are extortion. Whereas, perhaps according to the first answer from Rav Kanievsky, right, where he just said that for the rich people they will get paid back, then it could be that they would get paid back for paying exorbitant prices for when somebody charges a lot. But according to this answer, they wouldn't. That's our answer number two or three. So next one is going to be the other answer that Gary said. Otirtu gamim nemar sheyusivu lo min hashamayim avor mechir hayakar shel dagim lechavot Shabbos, that if a person gets paid back, mikol mokom yesh letakein, even if you're going to get paid back, you still need to make a decree shelo liknos dagim mafkiyah mechir from people that sell them for very expensive. Why? Sharei yesh lechasho shagoyim yafkiyah mechirim gaba od mitzvos chavivos Yisrael, right? He doesn't say that the fish is going to keep going up, but he says once they see that they can raise prices on the fish and everybody's going to come back, then okay, so then you need to buy your esrog. That's going to, they're just, the money's going to be very high. Every single thing you need to buy, they're going to say, okay, well, they're going to look at the holiday and try to figure out what thing applies to which holiday, and then they're, or Shabbos, or what things you need, or doesn't even apply to a holiday, maybe your shirt for tzitzis, or whatever you're allowed to buy from
airfares to come to Israel before Sukkot, for instance.
Yeah, okay, right, the airlines. So, they're just going to see, the Jews are willing to spend more money, because they don't have such a choice in the matter, or at least not always. So kigun arba minim. Oh, he does give you. He gives arba minim is one of his examples. Schach to buy some schach for your sukkah. Va'od kahena, etc., etc. There's going to be lots of things. Shavein lo huftach shim hosiv mosivin lo. So he actually is limiting it. He says that for Shabbos you'd get paid back, but for those other things you wouldn't get paid back. The Gemara here says your money that you spend on Shabbos and Talmud Torah and Yom Tov, some of the Rishonim and some of the, not everybody agrees, some people say it applies to everything. It seems from the Gemara that the Gemara is limiting it. So he says, what's going to happen is they're going to start to charge lots of money for other things that you're not going to get paid back for, and then life is going to be very expensive and most people won't be able to afford it. That's the concern, and that's why they boycotted, so that the prices go down. And then final answer is something that we alluded to earlier, O Tirtzu B'Rashi, people quote from Rashi, Ki Hotzaz HaShambas Nitonim L'Adam L'Fi Mashahu Ragil. That's what Rashi said, you get back what you normally pay. So, V'Nimza Kone Dagim B'Mechir Mufka, if a person is going to decide to go and spend a lot of money on fish, much more money than he normally does, then that's not part of the promise to get paid back. So that's our answers to this very interesting question about is the Gemara just a blank check to spend however much money you want on Shabbos? It would seem to be that according to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, it could be that the answer is yes, but sometimes there's other concerns like the other people, the aniyim, that are involved. According to most of these other answers, it's not necessarily a blank check. It's either according to what you normally spend or an external consideration of the price raising for other things. So those were some of the answers. And now let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Reish Mem Bet Lahalacha says, Imochre hadagim miyakrin hashar. If the fish sellers raise the price, Nachon letakin shelo yiknu dagim eza shabbato, you should, it's proper to make a decree not to buy fish, ad sheyamod hashar ad al mekomo, until the price goes back to what it should be. Then he quotes Vine Bever Hetev Hevi Delo Yasu Takana Rakim Hosivu Mekach Yotar Shlish. He quotes a different opinion that you should that there is a bit of a leeway that you're allowed to spend up to a third more of the price, and only after the price goes more than a third 33% more than it normally is, that's when you should make this decree not to buy it. Kimichmoshai Mikedem Aval Beeli Rabba Beprimegadim Kasvu Daaf Pachos Mishlish Yoker Yesh Lasot Takana Mishumaniim. Right, but once you're focused on the poor people, even raising it a third is going to cut out a lot of people from buying the fish. So just as soon as it starts to rise more than it should be, I guess the question what it should be is another interesting question that comes up in some other areas of halacha about setting prices. And there's a halacha that if you pay one sticks more, one sticks less, then you have to either return the money, return the object. So again, the question there comes up: How do you determine what the price is? It's an even more complicated question when you're talking about antiques or other things that one of a kind. How do you determine what the price is? But you guys, we just whatever you have a good. We just know around how much fish should be or other things should be. So I assume that's what we're gonna go with. So now he tells you another very important answer that up till now we haven't seen. He says, well, why do you eat fish? You eat fish for Oneg Shabbos, right? It's an enjoyable thing to do. It's a special thing. So he says, okay, so at the end of the day, if the fish is too expensive, so good. So you'll find something else. You find something else that you enjoy that's not so expensive. So it's not, you're not necessarily violating your enjoying of Shabbos with this, because there's other things you can get to enjoy Shabbos. And then im tiknu lesor lechol dagim kama shabbatov echad kana mikodem muter. And then he tells you another thing, that the whole point of this takana is that you shouldn't buy from them now. So if somebody has fish in their freezer and the community makes a decree don't buy fish, that doesn't apply because you had bought it earlier when either the prices were normal or before the decree. So that's really what we have in this gemara. This gemara tells us basically that. That a person's money is set on Rosh Hashanah, from Rosh Hashanah into Yom Kippur, and except for a few things, that if you spend more, you get more, and if you spend less, you seem to get less. So the Sfat Emet, I came across it after I prepared the Makor, has a very different understanding of this Gemara, where he says, She'im pichei pochten lo. He says, if you spend less, he says, then Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes you by actually giving you less money. It's not just like we said before, if your decree was $50,000 for that year, and you spent $1,000 on Shabbos, you get back another $1,000, and you spent $10,000, you get back another $1,000, where it seems the Sfas Emes says that if your money that you made was $50,000, and normally, a normal person in your situation should spend, I don't know, $5,000 on Shabbos, and you spend one, you're actually going to end up with less than $50,000. God is going to punish you for that. And if you spend a nice amount on Shabbos, you spend $10,000 on Shabbos, it's not just that you're going to have $60,000, it's that you're going to have $60,000+, because God is going to reward you for doing it. It's a very, very different understanding. He says that he disagrees with Rashi, because from Rashi it seems very clear that it was the first way, that you just, if you spend $1,000, you get $1,000 more, and if you spend $10,000, you get $10,000 more, where he has it as a reward and punishment. If you only spend $1,000, you're going to get $45,000, and if you spend $60,000, you'll get $70,000, let's say. Very, very different and novel, but maybe fits nicely with the words, different approach to the Gemara.
And how do you apply that to an ani? Proportional?
What do you mean?
In other words...
Yeah, I think proportionally, if a person...
You spend less, that you'll get less.
I would, yeah, proportional. Proportional to what they normally do, I think. I think.
You usually spend...
Anani would spend like even less. Like 50% of that, yeah. So I would say that. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. It would just be according to what you normal. It's probably some sort of combination. It's probably a combination of what you normally spend in your situation plus what communal norms are for Kavod Shabbos. So if a person, right? So if normally right now I would say it's normal to eat chicken on Shabbos, and most people could. Obviously, it depends on where exactly your money lies. Like, if a person really can't have chicken on Shabbos, we're not talking about that kind of person, but we're talking about a person that could, but decides, you know what, I want to save the money because, whatever, I don't have so much of it, so I want to save it for something else. That's where I would assume that this would come in. But yeah, overall, I would think it more or less is going to be like proportional to how much money you have and what exactly you can afford and what the norm is in your community. That would be... Or maybe not in your community, but just like a norm in general is, right? Because if you're in a community where everybody eats a steak, is it a real problem if you're going to eat chicken? Like, I don't know. That's a hard... It's not quite... I don't know. I would not know what the answer to that is, but that's a hard question. Okay, so now we're going to spend some time focusing on the second part of the Gemara about preparing for Shabbos. At which point in the week should you really prepare? Should you do like Shammai says at the beginning, right? And every single thing you come across, you're going to say, I want to save this for Shabbos. Or should you do like Beis Hillel and not even worry about it and just say, okay, whatever, on Friday morning I'll go to the Makolet and whatever's left in there is that's what God wanted me to have. So we'll do the Shulchan Aruch and we'll do some of the Mishnah Berurahs here. The Mishnah Berurah addresses this question. So Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Nun says in Sif Aleph, he says, Yashkin baboker biyom hashishi lahachin tzorachei Shabbos. You should wake up on Friday morning to prepare for Shabbos. And this is an idea we saw last week. Vafilu yeshel kama avadim l'shamsho. And even if you have servants to serve you, you should still do something personally, right? Or I don't remember if we said this last week or just occurred to me, right? Or somebody, I'm sure, pointed this out last week. Or you're going to a hotel. I believe somebody said that last week. You're going to a hotel, something like that. And all the meals are set, everything is set. You should still do something to show that you personally are preparing for Shabbos. Rav Chisda would cut the vegetables very thinly to cook for Shabbos. Rav Yosef would bring in the firewood so that they could cook. Rabbi Zera Yamadli Kaish, and he would light the fire. Rav Nachman Mitagan Abaydu Machnes Kelim Matzrichim Shabbos Umefana Kli Achol, and he would bring in what they needed, and he would clean out the what they used during the week. Umehem Yilmad Kol Adam, and everybody should learn from these sages. The Lo Yomar Lo Efkom Bifkodi. A person shouldn't say. Sorry, Lo Pogum, I think that was a typo. A person shouldn't say, I don't want to tarnish my honor by having to go schlep firewood for Shabbos. Or I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to be the one who lights the fire or does the slicing. That's something that's below me. A person should not say that. Because this is Kavod Shabbos. It's showing that you're honoring the Shabbos. And the Ramah quotes that you should... sharpen your knife for Shabbos, for Kavod Shabbos, so that you could have a knife to use on Shabbos. So that's Aleph, and Sif Bet is Yarbe, Babasar, V'yayin, U'migdanos, Kivya Chalta. You should increase, you should have meat and wine and delicacies according to your level. So we're going to do a few Mishnah Berurahs, then we'll call it a morning. So the Mishnah Berurah, in the first one says, Yashkin baboker dichtiv v'hayav v'yom hashishi v'echinu et asher yaviyu. The pasuk says, on the sixth day, you should bring that which had been prepared. The gomer hachonu dumya dehava'a. And the Gemara here makes an analogy or a comparison from preparing and bringing. V'havas haman shaloi tala alter baboker dichtiv v'ayikutu oto baboker baboker. When the people used to go collect the man in the desert, they used to do that right away at the very beginning. So af hachana, so to the preparation for Shabbos, you should do at the very beginning, right? The beginning of the sixth day of Yom Shishi, that's when you should start preparing for Shabbos. Tia miyad baboker, vainu miyad achar kriyashma tefila, right? So he says, wait, don't skip davening to start preparing for Shabbos, right? Say go daven, say Shema, say Shemona Esrei. Ach imhu ragil lilmod achar tefila. But if a person usually likes to learn a little bit after davening, he has a shiur, or he learns with some other people, all yivat lenu, don't, so that's okay too. So you go to davening, go to shul, sit and learn for a little bit, and then start preparing for Shabbos. Chumosha katsu v'sof simen reishon alav. Im derech hamakom, hahu limkor baboker. So, and if in your place things usually sell out very quickly, so that if you sit and learn, there's not going to be anything left for you to buy, so then don't lo yikba limudo. Don't learn, then you should cancel your chavrusa. Ela achar haknia. Right, learn after you go buy your stuff for Shabbos. And he says, usually you should daven, that should be one of the first things that a person does in the morning. If in your place things sell out even before you'd have to go to shul, so he says, okay, so wake up early, go buy your things, and then go to shul. But make sure you say Kriyat Shema. You don't want to miss Zman Kriyat Shema for all this. And this is not included, right, with the statement that you should not do your own personal business before you daven in the morning. Because why? Because this is Chafsei Shemaim. This is preparing. This is doing for a mitzvah. So you're allowed to prepare for Shabbos before davening if you have to. Better to daven first, but otherwise if you have to prepare for davening. So now in bed is where we're going to come to the question about preparing and Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. So Mishnah Berurah says, B'yom shishi. V'hu yoter tov mi sheyikne b'yom. Hey, it's better to do the preparations on Friday than Thursday. Shu min kar yoter shulichvot Shabbos. Because it's more on Thursday, it's not so clear. Maybe you're going to buy a meat to cook for dinner Thursday night. It's not so clear. But on Friday, you're obviously going to do it for Shabbos. So better to prepare on Friday morning. Im lo b'davet shetzarech hachana rabba. Unless, of course, you need to spend a lot of time preparing for it. If there's something that takes a long time for you to prepare, so don't do it on Friday because you might run out of time. Or the food might not be ready for Shabbos. Or whatever you had to do, it wouldn't be ready. So then you should do that earlier. Come a buzzer limloch like to salt meat the chadoma yeshlignos biyom hey. Ach im a buzzer shemozi biyom hey hu kachosh. But if you find meat on Thursday that's not so nice, the yesh suffix shayimsa biyom vav, and maybe you'll find nicer meat on Shabbos, shuman, fattier meat, vitov, yamtin al yom shishi. So the chorim say better to wait when the thing that you're going to buy is not so nice, to see if you can get something nicer. And he says, certainly for us for now, in a day where it's very short, where Shabbos, like we talked about last week, is in the 4 o'clock range. So there's better reason to start preparing on Thursday night for Shabbos when there's not so much time on Friday. So now we're gonna come to the Beit Shammai stuff very in the next line or two. And the Mishnah also tells us v'tov sheyomar al kol davar shekona zelichvot Shabbos. It's good to say it. It's not just to think it, right? Did Beit Shammai say it in the Gemara? He did. The Gemara says that Beit Shammai, everything he would come across, he would say, Zol Shabbos. This one is for Shabbos. It doesn't sound like he would think it. It sounds like he would say it. So he says it's good to say it when you get something that this is for Kavod Shabbos. Ki hadibor hu pol harbe b'kedushah. So he gives a reason. He says, dibor, speech, functions a lot in Kedushah. I'm not sure exactly what he means by this. It sounds like it's something that you take it from being latent and you take it out and you make it into words. It gives it more seriousness or makes it more real. So now, so even if a person prepares in the morning, they should also prepare Ben Hashmashos not after Shabbos starts, but do something a little bit also before Shabbos, right before Shabbos again. Right, the pasuk says it again that you should prepare something again. So do it first thing in the morning, and then make sure you do something a little bit before Shabbos starts. Okay. Kasiv now here at Beit Shammai Beis Hillel. Let's see which one of these is halacha. Ksiva Torah Zachor is Yom HaShabbos LeKadsho. The pasuk says, "Remember the day of Shabbos to sanctify it." V'darshu Beit Shammai Shetei Zochro Me'echa B'Shabbos. Beit Shammai says, "When does this begin? It begins on Sunday." Nizdamin LaChelik Yafet Tehei Mitakno LeShabbos. If you find a very nice thing, save it for Shabbos. V'Amru Al Shammai Hazaken and Shammai Hazaken Shakol Yomav Haya Ochel Lichvot Shabbos. This is the Gemara that we saw in Beitza that all of his days he would eat for Shabbos. Haya Modze Be'Emana Omer Zol LeShabbos. He would find a nice thing. He would say, "This is for Shabbos." Matza cheres na'ay himen. He found a better one. He would eat the first one. Umaniyah chashniyah al haShabbos. Nimso shachila he kedesha tishara yafel shel Shabbos. Every time he would eat something, he would eat it in order that the nicer one would be saved for Shabbos. Aval Hillel hazaken mida acheres haitabo. So this is what we saw. Hillel had a very different characteristic in this. Shahaya Omer Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. He said, "Baruch Hashem Yom Yom Yamas Lanu Sarchenu." That Hakadosh Baruch Hu provides. Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives us what we need. V'hiskimu harbe poskim. So now, what are we supposed to do? V'hiskimu harbe poskim. Shagam Hillel Moda. That even Hillel himself would agree. Shechedivrei Beishamai Idif Atfei. That it's better to do like Beit Shammai, that as the week goes along, to prepare for the future, to think that when things come across your way, you say, "I'm going to buy that and save that for Shabbos." Ela shaya boteach b'Hashem, but Beis Hillel had this incredible bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shebevada yasmin lo l'Shabbos mana yafe mishar hayamim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give him something for Shabbos, more so than the rest of his than during the week. And to like strengthen his bitachon in Hakadosh Baruch Hu, this is what he would do: is that he had this bitachon that Hakadosh Baruch Hu would give him what he needed on Sunday, and what he needed for on Monday, and what he needed on Tuesday, and what he needed for Shabbos, Hakadosh Baruch Hu would give it to him on Friday. And to strengthen his bitachon, he used to do this. Right, because he had this unbelievable level of bitachon, but aval shar kol adam, right? Everybody else, the rest of us, she'ein bitachon chazak, right? We all have concerns, and we're concerned with our financial situations and with our savings and with where everything is going to come from and this and that, and we have all these concerns.
It's true.
Right? It's not we're not the level of Hillel. Gam humo, the Hillel himself would tell us. Better to be like Shama, Yipshita Bedavar, She'eno, Shchiach, Liknos. And then he says, and he says, this is obvious, that if something is not common, then you should buy Kishe Yizdami Lo Davar Shelo Ye Nifsar Azaya Niachotol Shabbos. And of course, it's certainly if something is not so common to come comes across your way on a Monday and you're going to want it for Shabbos, then to buy it then. And then final thing of this Mishnah Berurah, again, we're just doing some other halachas relating to food here, but Mitzvah Litom Mikol Tavshel Ber Shabbos. So he says that it's a mitzvah. You should eat from your taste your food kidei letagnon yafe gehogen, so that you can make sure that it's good, right? You want to have good food on Shabbos, so you can taste your food. And I haven't looked at this in a long time, but I believe even it's quoted that even during Tisha B'Av, let's say the 9 days when there's a minhag not to eat meat, this would be an exception to that. That on Friday afternoon, a person could take a piece of their chicken and take a bite out of it, so to see whether it in fact tastes good and it's going to be a good thing for them to eat on Shabbos or not. Okay, so that's the halacha here. So it would seem that the halacha is like Beis Shammai here, that a person as they come across things during the week, then that's what they should designate it for Shabbos, and that's also what the Gemara in Shabbos that we saw supported that why did that person have all the wealth and all the riches? Because when he would find a nice animal, he would say like Beis Shammai that this one is going to be for Shabbos. So then we'll just close with something else in that daf al daf that I found. So again, just a quick summary for the halacha from the Mishnah Berurah that we saw earlier was that it is appropriate that if something gets to be too expensive that to make a boycott, to cut it, to this promise of getting payback for everything would seem is limited, doesn't apply under all circumstances, and a person should not halacha just go out and spend tons and tons and tons of money every Friday, especially if they don't have so much money to begin with, and for all the other reasons that we saw that would not be such an appropriate thing to do. And then we saw that the halacha is like Beit Shammai, or maybe not the halacha, maybe the suggested action is like Beit Shammai, that a person should always prepare as the week goes on for Shabbos, because Beis Hillel seemed to be an exception due to his unbelievable level of bitachon. And now we'll conclude with the final thing, Belev Simcha. I don't know what this is. Kotev. He quotes from the Shabbos Zemer Scharo Harbe Meod Al Pi Pa'alo. That one of the Zmirot has this line that your schar, the reward for Shabbos is great. Al Pi Pa'alo, according to what you put into it, your actions. So he says, Yeshli Daktik Shu Ke'en Al Menas L'Kavod Pras. He says, first of all, this sounds like you keep Shabbos to get a great schar. That's like serving a Rav Al Menas L'Kavod Pras. We say that you're not supposed to do mitzvahs to get rewards. So why does this Gemara seem to say if you keep Shabbos, spend a lot on Shabbos, you'll get a great reward for it? And Ve'od Ma'u Harbe Ma'od, what is the Zemer says, Scharo Harbe Ma'od, but then it says, Al Pi Pa'alo. That seems to be a contradiction. You get what you put into it, or do you get great, even more than you put into it? So he says, Ve'efshar Ha'pirush Al Pi Amram Zal. So he says, we can explain this according to the Gemara that we started off with. Kol Mizanotav Shal Adam Ketsuvin Lo Mirosh Hashanah. The Gemara says, that the Gemara that we saw earlier, that everything is said for your Rosh Hashanah, Chuz Me'osah Shabbos V'yom Tov. Sheim Mosif Mosifin Lo, that if you spend you spend more on it, you get more. So he says, Zeus Charo Harbe Ma'od Al Pi Pa'alo. So he says, this is what it means that you get a great schar according to what you put in. The whole point is that you shouldn't think that you shouldn't feel that you spent so much money on Shabbos. So it sounds almost like we could fit this into that Tzfat Emet that we had earlier. That according to what you put in, scharo al pi pa'alo, according to what you spend on Shabbos, scharo harbe ma'od, you're going to get above and beyond that. A person should never think, oh, I spent too much money on Shabbos. Shabbos, or oh, I'm having guests, it's going to cost me so much, etc., that a person should maybe this is part of the bitachon to connect it to the other thing, that there's bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay back what we spent on Shabbos, schara harbe ma'od, even more so, mosif in though, even more so than we put into it, like the Sfat Emet. So I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are you quoting?